Before we begin, I'd like to emphasize that this podcast is an extension of my surgical work and research at Visionary Eye Doctors. And thank you all for tuning in every week or multiple times to kind of hear our about our research and how we help patients. And thank you to all of you who have flown in from all over the world to see us here. So I'm very humbled by that. So it is my hope and desire to keep this information free to all of you, especially to my dear patients. And in keeping with this mission, we are very thankful to our first sponsor for this podcast, Wizard Dry Eye Mask. Many of you have heard me talk about the Wizard before. I have loved this product for years. It looks like this. I have one right next to my bed. So does my husband. I used mine last night. And even, you know, if I can't sleep, I'll use it. It's a wonderful product that you just plug in next to your bed or even at your computer. I've been known if I start to develop a sty to do the Wizard as I type and then switch, you know, if I have warm, just like a warm compress. So it works wonderful for that. So thank you to the Wizard. If you mention our name, podcast, Visionary Eye Doctors, Dr. Kramer's, they'll give you a 1-year guarantee. If anything happens to the product, just call them up and they'll replace it for you for free. So thank you to the Wizard Research team for sponsoring this podcast. Enjoy. Everybody, it's Dr. Sandy Laura Kramers. Thank you again for joining us for the EYE Show podcast. I'm one of the board certified surgeons of Visionary Eye Doctors. Thank you for tuning in. And today we're going to talk about Light Adjustable Lens Plus, the newest implant in the vast array of implants that are available in the country, in the United States of America, and globally. And so, again, it's the best time in the history of the world to have cataract surgery or have cloudy vision where you can't see, or even for some patients, as mentioned in a previous podcast, have something called clear lens exchange, where we take out the clear lens and put in an implant if you're a good candidate. And so check out that previous podcast. But just to go through where we've come, you know, when we think about the early 1300s, when glasses were made, we think about, you know, the need for, of course, we had first glasses and then polycarb lenses and then, of course, plastic glasses. So there's glasses, we've always used glasses, but nobody likes using glasses. I hate using my glasses. I get older and I'm using my glasses, having to lift them to see my iWatch. We call that a FWP or first world problem. Check out that video if you ever have any issues in your life, but it's a first world problem. You know, we kind of have become used to, a lot of us, having perfect vision in all distances. And as a lot of the millennials, Gen Zers hit the kind of 40, 45 range, you start to need reading glasses. And a lot of patients come in very upset. And it's funny because when I was a resident, that was just kind of given. The baby boomers just assumed they were going to need reading glasses. They knew. For some reason, it hasn't been passed down to the next generation, and people will come in distraught that they need reading glasses. But it is an issue. And I think people now notice it more because they're on their cell phone and their iPhone and or their iWatch, and you know, they're kind of going back and forth between things, and you have to lift your glasses, and it is gets annoying. I'm starting to notice that. So it's one of those things that we want to try to help patients understand that even though it is the best time in the history of the world to have this issue, and we can help you in many different ways, which we're going to go through one of the latest ways, it still has its negatives. So if we go back through history, think about eyeglasses, a pain that is, it's true, but we still an option for patients. And then, of course, contact lenses have come through, but some people are not tolerating contact lenses, especially if they have dry eyes. And then we have refractive surgery, LASIK, PRK, all types of intraocular kind of corneal inlays and things like that. Those are great for certain patients, but they do have risks as well. And then as we get into kind of implantable contact lenses, that has a good positive. We'll do another podcast on that in the future, but there's a big negative. Often you need another surgery to remove that implant. And every time we go into the eyeball, there's a little bit of an extra risk that there could be an infection or needing another surgery. I always tell people, your death, my death, there's always risks. Very rare with any intraocular surgery, but we take intraocular surgery very seriously. So moving forward now to the last 30 years, we have the intraocular lens, which is come a long way from when we first had to basically use simple kind of acrylic. Well, first it was kind of like a PMMA, it was called. We would use PMMA that was very difficult to deal with. We'd have to open the eyeball almost halfway, put sutures in, and then we had hydrogels of all kinds, silicone, and then acrylic. So now we have the Light Adjustable Lens Plus, which is the best implant currently on the market in terms of giving you the best customizable, precise vision. And it's been a game changer in our practice because we have patients that were never even perfectly corrected because of astigmatism.
Though no lens is guaranteed to give you perfect vision for distance, intermediate, and reading without glasses.
So we're very excited about that for distance, intermediate, and reading. So the Light Adjustable Lens Plus, and I'm not paid by the company, is it kind of similar to the Light Adjustable Lens, of course. So the Light Adjustable Lens is basically a monofocal filled with monomer molecules, similar to when you have those glasses that kind of change colors when you go into the sun. The molecules change to basically make the glasses turn kind of darker. The same technology can now be used to move these monomers in this silicone kind of gel that allow the cells, the molecules rather, to help correct astigmatism, nearsightedness, farsightedness in a very precise way. It just requires some adjustments along the way in many cases. And if you listen to my previous podcast, you heard me talk about the best outcomes are when we do light adjustable in both eyes, but we've had patients that have had one eye that was a monofocal and then they choose a light adjustable in their other eye and they're very happy because they have more precision and customizable precision in their vision. The Light Adjustable Lens Plus adds a new dimension where there is about a plus 150 button in the middle, which means that the lens, let me just show you, kind of looks like this, like a monofocal, but in the center there's a little kind of thicker part that allows you to see reading a little bit better than the light adjustable lens itself. And so most patients are seeing 1 to 2 lines better for reading vision. So that means if you're looking at the Wall Street Journal or New York Times, you will usually be able to see it without putting on reading glasses. Not always, but much more precision and many more happy patients because of this. And the needs for adjustments, we've noticed there's less needs for adjustment, which has been wonderful. So the Light Adjustable Lens Plus, again, similar to the previous podcast, is best for patients that are very high myopes and some patients that need cataract surgery, astigmatism, people that have had LASIK or PRK, patients that are contact lens wearers that can't come out of their contact lenses even for the 1 or 2 weeks. We really want you to come out to measure the corneal curvature. Patients with dry eye disease tend to do better, I think, with light adjustable lens because of the precision. And so remembering always, let me take this time to mention this, that there are 3 parts of the eyeball that are refractive, meaning they focus light. The most important, I would argue, is the tear film. But of course the lens and the cornea, and they're all very important. But once the lens has been changed out and we have a new implant, that's kind of out of the picture, the previous old lens. The cornea, of course, is still there, but the changes of the cornea are minimal. They can change. You can have a perfectly spherical cornea before cataract surgery. Sometimes the surgery can induce a little bit of astigmatism. That can happen. And so then, you know, the light adjustable lens can undo that. The tear film is what remains. And so the tear film is still that crucial part that, as I talked about before, the blinking, the warm compresses, trying to talk with your eyes closed, that's what's going to keep you having the clarity of vision for most patients with any of these implants. So if you're investing your money into trying to be less reliant on glasses in some patients, glasses free, not always, then you still want to think about, you know, what are you going to do to maintain that investment? And the best thing, of course, is getting a mybography every year. The mybography, or what we have in the office, is called a LipoView or LipoView 2. This mybography takes pictures of the meibomian glands. We do it usually every year so we can see how the oil is changing over time to make sure that you always have enough oil to lubricate the surface so the investment that you've made is going to continue to produce great results in terms of vision. What is the negative of the light adjustable lens plus versus the light adjustable lens itself? So I've had a couple patients now that had light adjustable lens in one eye, light adjustable lens plus in the other eye. There's been no negatives I've seen. We've had about maybe 10 patients right now, so it's not like thousands yet. But they're similar in their platform is the same. Pretty much everything is the same, but there's just a little bit more reading vision in the light adjustable lens plus patients. So they appreciate that, and it's less of needs for adjustments to try to get that kind of depth of vision because technically these implants are still monofocal, meaning it gives you a plane of vision. But by adjusting the implant between the two eyes, you get more of a range of vision. So there's some negatives with that. Some people, if you've never had kind of differences between the two eyes, sometimes the doctor will aim you to be about a -1.50 to -2 to try to give you some reading in one eye and distance in the other eye. And we have a lot of patients that use that with their contact lenses. They love it. They know it's going to work great for them. And those are the happiest patients we have, because we achieve that very well with any of these implants, in particular the light adjustable, in terms of customization if there's residual astigmatism or the precision is not there on the initial surgery. The patients that run into trouble are those that have never tried that, and if it's too much of a difference, people can feel a little bit of imbalance. But the beauty of the light adjustable lens is that we can pull back on that and make it less different between the two eyes, so that uneasiness when you're walking or instability or depth perception is minimized. So sometimes we don't know how patients will react to something until we literally try it on them, whether it's glasses, contact lenses, or actually an implant. But the beauty of this implant, again, is the ability to customize it. So those are the key things with that procedure. So far, I haven't had any complications with the light adjustable lens. We haven't had to remove a single one so far. That can change. There's no perfect implant in the world. The implant itself is awesome. The things you'll hear about, maybe if you're a surgeon listening to this for the first time, is the type of haptics. The haptics are PMMA. So instead of being kind of these flexible haptics of the, let's say, Panoptics or the Acrosoft type of line of acrylic lenses, these haptics go into what we call a capsular bag. It's like a pillowcase. The pillowcase is very, very thin. And so if that capsular bag is not perfect, you could rip open that capsular bag by putting this a light adjustable lens implant with these very sharp haptics in there. So if we see any abnormality of the capsular bag, we most often put the light adjustable lens in the sulcus, meaning on top of the pillowcase, and it's a minimal change in the procedure. There's no really added risks, because when we do that, the only real risk is, as long as the vitreous, which is the gelatin in the eye, and I can show you what I mean here for those of you on YouTube. So when we're talking about this, is that this is the clear lens, and we have, let's say, a cataract that looks like this, and we're going to put an implant usually in the capsular bag. But sometimes there is an issue with that bag. The back part of the pillowcase or bag gets compromised for various reasons. And what we're hoping is that the gelatin in the eye, the vitreous, will not come forward into the anterior chamber because of more potential issues down the line. So as long as there's no need for a vitrectomy, there's no vitreous coming forward, and we'll do a vitrectomy if it does come forward, we can put the light adjustable lens, because it's a three-piece lens instead of being a one-piece. This is considered like a one-piece, is like a bathing suit, let's say a one-piece bathing suit versus a three-piece bathing suit. The light adjustable lens is like a three-piece, meaning the haptics are different from the optic, which is the center. We can put this three-piece on top, and it's a little hard to see, but on top of the actual pillowcase in a place called the sulcus, which is right behind the iris and right on top of the capsule. And the reason why that's wonderful is that because we know we can still use this implant, we don't have to change a completely different platform, and it can sit in a good location. And if there is a, what we call a refractive surprise, meaning we will pull back the power when we put it in the sulcus, but if there is still not complete precision with a regular three-piece implant, like a monofocal regular one, we just have to give glasses if that happens. With the light adjustable lens, we can actually adjust any change if that affects the surgery. So for surgeons, it's a wonderful option in case you have a patient that has a potential issue with a capsular bag. And so just so you're aware, a lot of surgeons like this implant for that reason, because it makes the options during the surgery much more broad, which allows us to get precision for you in terms of your vision. So just an aside to let you know that extra piece that I've really appreciated with the light adjustable lens, having that safety net. So that's excellent. Okay, those are the key things between the light adjustable lens and the light adjustable lens plus. And so if it were my eye today, I would choose the light adjustable lens plus. I think this is the best implant we have right now. I have a little bit of astigmatism, so I'd like that idea that if there wasn't any issue when I, you know, when the surgeon cuts the cornea to make the incision into the eye, we can cause a little bit of astigmatism change. And so for years, surgeons, and we continue to try to minimize the astigmatism during surgery by the cuts we make into the eye, with femtosecond laser, with limbal relaxing incisions, toric implants, if you had a monofocal toric or a panoptics toric. Toric means it's trying to correct astigmatism, which is the abnormality of the curvature of the cornea. The light adjustable lens has gotten rid of a lot of that risk and concern, so it makes us even happier in the sense that we know we'll have a better chance of making you happy with your vision. So as a surgeon and as a patient in the future, I'm thrilled with this new implant, and things will continue to improve. So what we're talking about in the future now is using a laser procedure to, or even now a liquid, injectable liquid, to dissolve the cataract completely, suck it out with a straw, so the incision into the eye might be zero, very small, or close to zero, very, very small insertion, and insert a liquid or gel into the lens that is adjustable. And so, you know, it's getting better every year. So there's a lot of technology and innovation happening in this space. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great day.